Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today our special guest is Kerry Pierce. Kerry is the current sales production manager for Provident Loans. As a production manager, he has closed almost 2,500 loans for about $350 million in his career and also supervised another $1.5 billion in other closings. Kerry started in the business in 1985 when he worked at Coldwell Financial. He later went to work for AccuBank Mortgage, where I met him actually, where he was promoted to a position of branch manager. Kerry has been with Provident as their production manager since 2009. Kerry, welcome back.
Thank you.
Kind of covered the, you know, the last boom bust cycles of California. Now I think we're going to try to concentrate on, you know, going forward, some things maybe that have just recently changed. We hit on the 3% down for Fannie and Freddie, and then you said that they had done away with that, and that's one thing I guess since I don't follow it, I wasn't aware that that had been around before. So when did they get rid of it, and how big of a deal is it that it's reinstated?
It was probably, 2 years ago or more that we stopped doing the 3% down, and then, you know, now they're trying to loosen things up to get more people in the market and realizing that they've got to, you know, loosen up the strings a little bit. Everything is still going to be full dock. It's just they're going to loosen up the down payment to the 3%.
Okay, but there is there's a little bit of a big deal there because the FHA loan limit and the Fannie Mae loan limit are about 20% apart, something like that.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, if you were a builder building 3,500 square foot houses in Riverside, you probably are real happy that that just happened.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, because FHA is definitely not going to be a product that's going to work for you. And we have, you know, challenges with that where we've gone out and called on builder clients, and, you know, when their homes are 380 to 450, FHA doesn't work for them, not in Riverside County. So, we need products like this 3% down for that type of inventory.
Yeah, you and I had talked about when that FHA loan balance went down from 500 to 350. I was kind of asking you a percentage of your business that may have just, disappeared or been hurt, and it was less than I would have thought. Has that kind of turned out to be true? It wasn't that big of a deal, but maybe at the time. Was there a 3% down Fannie Freddie program at the time?
No, but the perception was when they dropped the FHA limit that it was going to be a major disaster for us. But honestly, you know, my average loan last year was only $250,000. So, you know, it really didn't affect me greatly, but it's because of the market that I'm in. I'm in Riverside, and, you know, our sale prices are lower, and it hasn't been that big of an impact. But somebody who's in L.A. or Orange County, you know, they do have a little bit higher loan limits out there, but still, you know, they would have felt the pain, I think, more than us.
Okay. If you look at the past ratio of Fannie Mae's maximum loan in our area and FHA's maximum loan, we're still way too close. In other words, FHA's history would be more like $200,000 at this point with a 417 loan.
Maybe 250, but yeah, you're right. I mean, usually that spread is much greater.
Is there a leaning toward that, or do you think they're happy with what they've got?
I think they're happy with what they have. We actually heard, you know, maybe 6 or 8 months ago that Fannie Mae might actually cut their loan limit, but luckily that did not happen, and they kept it at the 417 for Riverside County. So the one that we would like to see come up a little bit is FHA, because right now I think it's 355, 350. And as prices start to climb, you know, it is going to knock the FHA buyer out of some of those houses and force them into the conventional products.
Okay. Now, qualifying for a conventional versus FHA, what are the differences?
The advantage of FHA is we can still get someone approved with an automated approval up to 55 debt ratio, as long as they're over 680, whereas conventional, we're pretty much seeing automated cap out at about 45%. And on those 97% loans, it's going to be 43%.
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. I never think about interest rates in the sense of consumer borrowing, you know, like cars and stuff like that. But interest rates where they are, how big of a deal is that in a car lease or whatever else would be considered at the back end? Are these interest rates so favorable that you can buy a new car and it's much less of an impact than it might have been?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, what are you see 0% for 60 months on some cars, and I mean, you know, others at, you know, 1% or 2%. So that's still very cheap money for autos. But obviously, you know, the more debt a client has, the more it's going to affect them on what they can afford for a house. So
your sense of borrowers now, are they conservative by nature now, or would they get very aggressive if they were allowed to do so?
I think there's always going to be that segment that'll push it to the limit, you know, and take whatever credit they can get. But I think we are seeing people be a little more conservative these days, knowing that everything is full dock. So people are mostly buying within their means and not stretching themselves, you know, too greatly. So, and that's a comforting thought, because, you know, I don't see us having the meltdown like we had in 07 with the crazy loans that were out there and, you know, letting people buy with zero down and going to 50-55 debt ratios and all the crazy stuff that was going on. And some with stated income, you know, where they didn't even verify anything.
Right. I remember doing an interview at the time, and I hadn't borrowed money in a while. I had paid stuff off, and I didn't know what was going on as much. And I asked the question about stated income, and I just said directly, I said, well, where does that number come from? And then she just said, oh, we just make it up. And I just thought, I can't believe you just said that in an audience in front of 400 people.
But, yeah, that's basically fraud.
Yeah.
Admitted to.
Yeah, I stopped the questioning right then. I said, hey, thanks for joining us. And I ended it there because I just realized, my gosh, that was not a – I didn't expect the answer, that's for sure.
But, yeah, well, the loan that we did in lieu of that was our no-doc loan back then, where you didn't have to put income on the application. So you didn't have to ask the question. You didn't have to lie about it. You didn't put it on there. And there was a certain market that was perfect for, and self-employed was one of the best, where, you know, 20% down and they had good credit. You know, that was a loan for somebody who, you know, maybe wrote off too much on their taxes. But we didn't have to get into all that. We just made up the option, you know, hey, we have this no-doc loan. You don't have to show us anything. It's only a quarter point pricing hit. It was a very minimal hit. And a lot of clients opted to go that route and felt better about it because, you know, they didn't want to have to overstate their income.
At some point, I was driving around in, say, 2000 or somewhere close to that, and there was a 125% loan-to-value loan. What was that?
Well, I think where that started was FHA's Title I loan, where they would go up to 125%. But then there were people that were actually offering that on a purchase package. I remember that for a short time.
Right.
Didn't last very long, but it was out there for a while. I mean, I think they threw in where you could do like a pool and certain, you know, additions to the house to get you up to that 125% level.
I guess the reason I wanted to ask the question is, as the competition gets more creative and aggressive, does that dictate your future policies, or at least most lenders' policies?
It definitely most, yeah. But, you know, now that the CFPB's, you know, in our face every day, and, you know, they've passed the quantity or the QM rules and all of that, I really don't see too much, you know, easing when it comes to the underwriting and debt ratios and that kind of thing. Just because now they've put all these bodies in place that are overlooking our industry, you know, I don't see those bodies going away.
Is the oversight the same for, let's say, if I have a crowdfunding site and say, I'll fund you a loan? Is that even looked at?
You mean you, like an independent investor, you're just going to make somebody a loan?
No. Crowdfunding is now websites where they literally have a trustee available, and they ask people to invest in the trustee, and it funds, and you have a loan. It was new to me a few months ago, so if it's not something you've heard of, it's no big deal.
No.
But that's growing.
No, I haven't.
That's growing. There's literally people funding hotel deals that we know. They don't.
Wow.
They don't have a dime.
Wow.
They just have a concept. They got a deal on a hotel, and they said, we'll close escrow in 6 months, put a $10 million, $20 million trustee out for online, and people are saying, well, I'll take 10 grand of it and literally pool money, and that's called crowdfunding.
So, yeah, I think the difference is anybody buying a home to live in, owner-occupied, is where the QM rules are in play. So, you know, if somebody's buying a hotel or a business or whatever, I don't think those rules apply, so that's, you know, maybe why you're seeing what you're seeing.
Okay. I know that, you know, that certainly has come into the investor world, where you have people, let's say, you know, I'm in the hard money loan business, and there's certain rates and points, and then it's Wall Street, just like they did with home purchases, they entered the hard money loan business and, you know, lowered interest rates and points and so forth. And this is sort of maybe the next step toward that. But
yeah, you're not doing hard money on owner-occupied, are you?
Never. No, never have.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because you got all the rules that come into play with, you know, you've got to be, so, what is it, maximum 5% over the...
Whatever,
you know,
the rate
time
is.
Time or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, the Section 32 stuff kicks into play. And we've had some challenges on that just trying to do non-owner loans where... Because of that pricing add-ons, and if the loan's too small, you end up having to reduce fees just to make the loan work.
Right. Yeah. When did loan performance really get really good again? What would be the year that you'd say, okay, after this year, I mean, it was like everything was clean?
Probably 08, 09 is when everything pretty much switched to full dock, and everything since then, I mean, the track records have been pretty good, and I don't think that the REOs have been too high. So.
No. No, you'd have a really hard time having an REO when you funded a loan in 09, even if it went bad. The price
right,
aggression.
Because the value's going up.
Right.
Yeah.
So you couldn't have too many losses. And I guess that's what I was thinking is that I could see the private world somehow looking at this space that's open. So you probably have justifiably said there's not going to be stated income loans for, you know, the foreseeable future in the world that you're used to. I'm wondering right. if there isn't some bond expert out there going, you know what, I think we could fund the heck out of this and we could successfully sell the bonds.
Right. It would have to be a non-qualified mortgage and it would have to be a private investor. So, yeah, I mean, certainly there's that possibility, but, you know, most investors want to be able to sell it on Wall Street, and so that you've got to find a market for that, and most investors are going to want a bigger return if they're going to take that risk. So they're going to have a higher rate, basically.
Right. Well, I think there's probably room for a higher rate if a yes answer emerged where no answer, you know, like a stated income loan.
Right,
If that whole world isn't being funded by anyone else, you could have a higher rate. And probably still have successful business.
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the guys that was involved in the writing of the CFPB and all these different rules actually has gone on to start his own company, and just for that reason, to fit the niche of the non-qualified mortgage.
Okay. If you're self-employed, how difficult is it to get loans?
It all depends on what they write off, but it definitely is a bit of a challenge for the self-employed buyer because typically they write off a lot of expenses and reduce their income, some cases 30 to 50% and some more of their growth. So that is still a challenge for us.
Are they considered self-employed as opposed to they have their own corporation get a check?
Well, corporation, they're going to give themselves a W-2. So if they've got a 2-year history of doing that, we're going to take that W-2 and qualify them. But it's the guy who's the sole proprietor who still files, you know, on a regular tax return and files a Schedule C, that's the guy that gets hurt.
Okay. What are the down payment programs that are available right now? So you have 3% Fannie Freddie up to the loan limit of, say, 417 here?
417 in Riverside, yeah. Certain areas like LA and Orange are higher, 625.5. It's still priced a little bit higher because they consider that a high balance loan. Anything over 417 is classified as high balance. So that'll have a premium. I just priced one out today where 3.75% on a loan up to 417, but when you go over that, it was like 4.125%.
Okay.
So that'll give you an idea of the difference. And jumbo money, obviously, is, you know, you can also go anything over 417, you can go into jumbo. And jumbo is typically 20% down, and right now 30-year fix is running right around, I think, 4.25%, 4.125% on a jumbo. So the jumbo market is actually pretty aggressive, way more so than it used to be. It used to be jumbo money was at least 0.5% higher than the Fannie Freddie money. But today we're seeing some jumbo investors that are really close.
Okay. Is a jumbo by its own nature a portfolio loan of somebody's?
In some cases it can be, but a lot of those are still being sold off and securitized too. Now, we, Provident, have come out with a portfolio loan, which is our somewhat way of trying to loosen up a little bit on the parameters. They still want a really tight credit package, low debt ratio, 40%, but we will go up to 90% up to a loan amount of 850. Now, it is an ARM product. It's a 5-1 ARM, but there is no negative amortization or anything. But somebody that's doing a 10% down loan up to 850 could actually get a 4.25 rate with the MI built in and only have to put that 10% down.
Okay. Now let's cover the subject of MI, okay, and the difference between the conventional world and FHA. So MI is what, insurance?
Yeah, mortgage insurance, and it's basically just protection for the lender if the client defaults on the loan. It's not protection for the buyer. So FHA, as you know, just recently announced they're going to lower their mortgage insurance from 1.35 to 0.85, which is going to be a big help. I just did a scenario for you on a $300,000 sale price, which I think that's a good number for Riverside. The mortgage insurance at 1.35 comes out to $326 a month, and at 0.85, it's $205 a month. So that's $121 a month less for that client buying that $300,000 house. Now, if you want to know how much more purchasing power does that give that buyer, it's probably about $20,000. So instead of buying $300,000, now they could go to $320,000.
Okay. With the MI for FHA, when you get equity, does that ever change?
The sad thing with FHA is in June of, what was it? I think it was June of 13, actually. The MI now is on for the life of the loan. So it does not fall off like it used to. And it used to fall off after about 11 years once the loan paid down to 78%. That's where conventional loans are going to, I think, have an edge over the FHA, is the MI on conventional loans will still fall off once the loan pays down to 78%. But you can also try to get it off sooner than that. The minimum wait is 2 years, and you have to get a new appraisal. You have to document that you've made all your payments on time. But if you can document with a new appraisal that you're now at 75% based on today's value, you have a good chance of getting the lender to drop the mortgage insurance off the loan.
What about FHA? What if you said, okay, I'd like to refi my loan and it's at 70% now? Is that a no MI?
Your only option on FHA is to refinance.
Right.
And you'd have to refinance into conventional. And that we are doing for a lot of customers. Some of them, it's only taken 2 years. And I actually had a client who bought in Eastvale who the home appreciated enough in 1 year's time for him to go from an FHA minimum down into an 80% conventional loan.
But you can't refi to an FHA product.
No, because okay. FHA, anything FHA is going to have the mortgage insurance, and it's going to stay on for the life of the loan.
No matter what the loan-to-value is.
Right.
Okay. Do they still have the loan you happened to mention, and I forget the number, 203, where there's work involved and there's that's built into the loan?
Yeah. Yeah, we still have that product, and obviously it's still got MI just like the regular loan. I don't personally do many of those. I usually will refer them out to one of our other guys who specializes in those, but they take longer. You know, you have to get contractors out there and get bids and all kinds of stuff, and it usually takes about 45 days to close one. But we are seeing a little more interest in that product over the last 6 months.
Is that loan still not available to investors?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we're only doing owner-occupied, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we also got we were a big help in getting rid of a bunch of crummy inventory, and then we were, they thanked us by eliminating our 90-day, they didn't have the
waiver. Right.
Yeah, the waiver,
right.
And now they got that back too.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of sad because we deal with investors like yourself and Griffin and others that, you know, are huge in buying properties and reselling them to first-time buyers, and it's kind of sad that they did away with that waiver because now they've got to wait the 91 days, and you know, time is money. You guys don't like to sit on a property, you know, any longer than you have to, you know, otherwise your returns drop. So
well, yeah, and it is risk involved too. You have a vacant house that's fixed. That's not so hot.
Right.
If you are an investor in this market and you're trying to get financing for rentals, Fannie, Freddie, what are their programs now?
We actually have Freddie, who I think will go up to 85% on non-owner, which is kind of new. It does have mortgage insurance. Typically, you know, most of the investors are savvy and have at least the 20% to put down. The thing that comes into play, as you well know, is the number of units that you have financed will determine on how many loans you can get.
Right.
And the standard Fannie Freddie only allows you to have up to 4 financed properties, including the one you're trying to buy. That's their standard product with their you know, best pricing, so to speak. Now, they have both loosened up. Freddie Mac will go up to 6, and Fannie will go up to 10. But in those cases, it's the what we call the multi-finance property program. They require 75% loan-to-value. So it's going to take 25% down.
25% down, or is this a refi product at 75%?
Yes. You can still refi, and Freddie will actually allow you to do cash out, which they did not offer. We didn't have that product at the time we did your loans.
When you do, let's say you do an all-cash purchase at a trustee sale, is there a time limit on being able to refi?
We have a program for that, too. It's called the Delayed Financing Program, where an investor who goes out and pays cash and now he wants to pull some of his money out, and they'll do non-owner as well. They'll allow you to pull up to, I think it's 80% of whichever's lower, the sale price that you paid for it or appraised value, the lower of those two.
Okay.
And you don't have to wait. The standard rule for Fannie used to be 6 months before you could pull cash out. But in this case, it's for somebody who paid cash. So if you got a loan for, you know, you put half down and got a loan for half, they are going to make you wait the 6 months.
Okay, so the cash buyer does have an advantage in that there's no time frame attached to that.
Right.
Still 10, though, would be the number there.
And
after 10, is your world set up to help?
Right. Anything, yeah, if there's more than 10 finance properties, that's when we're done, and they'd have to go out to find private money.
Okay. The one other thing that was that probably had some changes recently would be I had a foreclosure or a bankruptcy, or I sold a short sale within 2 years, 3 years. What are the rules now for me being able to buy a home?
That's one area where we've actually seen some tightening, and it's kind of disappointing. But FHA's kind of been 3 years and hasn't made any changes. VA, technically, their guidelines say 2 years on a foreclosure or bankruptcy. Although, you know, Provident has overlays with our investors and they'd like it to be 3, but we still do get exceptions for the 2 years on VA. Conventional is where we've seen the rules tighten up a little bit, and it's mostly on short sales. It used to be on a short sale, you only had to wait 2 years and then you could do a 10% down Fannie Mae loan. Now they've pushed it back to 4 years. So, you know, they're making the people wait an extra 2 years.
So anybody doing a short sale in 2014 isn't going to be a buyer until 4 years later getting a
correct.
Getting a Fannie Mae loan, but FHA could be 3, but not less
FHA's
than that.
FHA is 3, yeah. Now, conventional, as far as a foreclosure goes, that hasn't changed. That's still 7 years.
Okay. Wow, that's still pretty tight, isn't it?
Right.
What's, you know, hear the word overlays. What's the reason for overlays? So Fannie, Freddie, or FHA will do a certain thing. An overlay is, no, we don't want to be that aggressive. We'll do less than that.
So, right. The investor that buys the loans from us says, okay, we're going to buy your loans, but we don't like these 56, 57 ratios on FHA. We're going to cut you to 55 or 50 or whatever their number is. Or they'll FICO, you know, do it by FICO score. Okay, if it's over 680, we'll take it to 55. But if it's, you know, 640, we want it to be, you know, 43. You know, they'll throw out things like that. So, you know, it's sad, but that's the world we're in, is we are geared to sell every loan that we write, and we're now forced to have to throw in some of these overlays that are not in the FHA guidelines.
Down to under a minute. Immigration law changes. The way the lending world is set up, let's say tomorrow I'm allowed to be a legal immigrant, what's my shot at qualifying for an occupant loan? What's the path of time probably?
It's going to be tough in that we have to still document a 2-year work history.
Okay.
You know, with Social Security number credit, so we have that issue. We have to be able to document you have established credit and you have decent scores. But then the more important piece of that is we have to be able to document 2 years of income.
Right.
So if they've been paid under the table, they're going to have to wait the 2 years and have everything above board before they'll be able to buy.
Right. So it couldn't be an immediate impact, but it could eventually be a good impact at some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have crammed a lot of information, Carrie, into two sections. Thank you for taking your time. And if you got some business, you can send to Carrie. He's always been great for me. Carrie, thanks for joining us.
All right. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.